Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Zach Feinberg, the guitarist, revivalists, who are coming to the Anthem on February 29th. Hey, Zach, thanks so much for taking the time to call in.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, cool. I want to know, a lot of our fans love, love the band, but, they might not even know, when they hear the name, the Revivalists, they might not even make the connect, know that the connect is to New Orleans, the whole Hurricane Katrina, evacuation time period. Recount the story. Is it true you met, your band member on a bike ride when you were down there, during that whole thing?
Yeah, that is true, there is a piece of the band name I think is inspired by that post Katrina time period. The band is from New Orleans. We all live there. Actually, we're all kind of raised in different parts of the country, but around college age, we all met in New Orleans. And as I was riding my bike one sunny afternoon, and I heard this really good singer singing and playing guitar, just belting it out for nobody, really, on this front porch, and I stopped to listen, and next time I met our lead singer, David Shaw. True story, that was back in 2007. And
that's
as far as the name of the Revivalist goes, yeah, it's like kind of city was getting back on its feet around that time, and we wanted to come up with a name that would be evocative of the time and place that we're coming from, but also, giving a nod to the way that we like to play live, and enjoying older styles of music and playing as well.
Awesome. Now, take me back even before that, when you yourself were growing up, how did you get bit by the music bug? I always like to know, albums were, around the household that you grew up on and got you into this whole biz to begin with?
I guess I was always a musical kid, kind of sliding around the house of playing Michael Jackson, and I would buy music at a pretty early age, or ask to buy music. I remember buying Nirvana in Utero when I was in first grade, just being moved by Paul Simon. But what really got me into playing music was my father, who plays guitar. So he got me started on that and kind enough to get me lessons throughout my childhood. So that got me really going.
Take me back. You're sitting there with your dad, on the end of the bed or the couch. Do you remember the early sort of those
exactly.
early do you remember any of the early riffs that he's sitting there teaching you? What were some
of
the first ones?
Bad to the Bone, or just like that classic blues riff. That's a good one. I was 9 years old. And I also remember the period when you're learning an instrument, how it's really frustrating at first and you kind of give up. So I remember giving up for a while, but the guitars were always around, and then I would just kind of play around with it on my own, not really practicing. And it was almost that approach that I still do, where it's whenever it feels like work and practice is when I'm turned off from it, and it's just play. It's just the notion of playing is where it works for me, I think. Yeah.
Awesome. You told us the story about, riding the bike and passing David, but what about him, his sound of his voice, or was it the lyrics he was saying? What about him specifically caught your ear, you think? What made him mesh with you?
It was the sound of his voice, and also it struck me as original music. This wasn't a song that I'd heard before, and it was powerful. I just was stopping to enjoy it. I didn't think this would, in that moment, that this was going to be a band that I end up, having for 15 plus years or whatever. But I saw that he had something there for sure, and I was compelled to stop because of that.
All right, so you kind of told us about how you got the band together. Take me back to that first studio album, Vital Signs, in 2010. When you look back at it now, what do you you know, either what stands out, either that you're most proud of, or that kind of, you know, when you look back on it, it kind of is shows, you know, you're still figuring things out a little bit. You know, talk about sort of how that kind of cap, you know, encapsulates you guys in your earliest form.
Yeah, there are elements of both those things for sure. There's moments that I'm really proud of and writing that I'm proud of. There's performance that I'm proud of, and then there's performance that I wish, you know, I can go back and do better. So, I mean, like the opening track, Not Turn Away, I really like how that came out with performance and the mix. That's a really strong song written by our drummer, D.C. area native Andrew Campanelli. That's a highlight. Catching Fireflies is a highlight as far as studio performance. I like some of the other tunes that are on there. Straw Man is one that I'm personally proud of. Do you think that we could have done a better job through your performance-wise? Just, like, you know, didn't really have it figured out. Wasn't super comfortable at that point in the studio. But, you know, I think these are things that just continue to happen, you know, throughout where, you know, nothing's ever perfect. And at a certain point, you just let it go and say, okay, you know, this is what it is. Hopefully people like it.
And also, you got to know, I'm sure, that it's small stuff that we don't even notice it as fans, but it's stuff that you find it, and you're like, I can always do better. But, all right, well,
yeah,
then take me into that now. All right, so then you evolve into City of Sound, the second album, 2014. Did, I'm going to look back on that even fonder, like, do you think you guys, you know, any of the things that you thought you needed to tighten up, you know, talk about how you think that was maybe, you know.
So the recording of City of Sound was actually December 2010, and we independently released it, I think, March 2012, and then we signed a record deal and they re-released it 2014. So it's also, like, in my mind, it's a pretty similar time period to recording it as Vital Signs. It was only like a year or so after that we were in the studio, but it was our first effort with Ben Elman as producer, who's a really excellent producer. He plays saxophone in the band Galactic, and he's done great work on their albums and on Trombone Shorty. He did two records with him, and he's got a very unique production style. And so with that being our first album with him, we really wanted him to sort of express his sort of producer voice on that record. So that's kind of the take-home point, I would say, for City of Sound, is that we really put ourselves into his hands, and we're very happy with the result.
Awesome. And then, of course, you know, the third album, Men Amongst Mountains, is when you guys really, really blew up, and, you know, all of us, you know, you became a household name for all of us. You know, Wish I Knew You was just massively, massively successful. And it's funny, my wife and I always talk about wishing that we met younger, and, you know, those lyrics always kind of, you know, are special, you know, in that light. But is that sort of what you're going through with that, or like anything? I'm sure most songs have meaning to you guys, but
David wrote that song, and I do think that was what the sentiment is, you know, with his girlfriend at the time, like, which still his partner, and he was just kind of, you know, wistfully looking back, but, you know, at the same time, there's this element of gratitude in it, like, you know, just saying that I wish, you know, we had more time to sentiment that a lot of people connected. So that said, a lot of people interpret it in other ways, which are equally as valid, you know, because music, being subjective as it is, you know, it's often a family member. I wish I, you know, had this time with you earlier, you know, or I wish I knew you, you know, I wish you were survived this. Or we've gotten a lot of fan response on different ways that song has moved people, and that's all wonderful for us, that, you know, it can be moving to people and helpful to people and mean something to them.
Yeah, I like what you're saying. It's that sort of that wistful lament, but at the same time, it's it's upbeat and positive. You know what I mean? Like, it's still, there's that gratitude there that at least you're there now. All right. And then bringing us all the way up sort of to the present, you know, with Take Good Care of, your fourth album. All My Friends was also a pretty big hit. I think it even topped the alternative charts. Any tidbits you can share with me on how that one came together, or, you know, memories of in studio recording that one?
It's fairly straightforward. Dave co-wrote that one with this producer, songwriter Dave Bassett, and had it fairly fleshed out, and we worked with them in the studio and just kind of added on top of it and tracked it. But beyond that, it's just they wrote the tune, and then we cut it, you know, over their demo.
Awesome. Now, you guys have played pretty much, you know, the biggest music festivals that there are. You've done through Austin City Limits, New Orleans Jazz Fest. That was probably really cool, you know, being from, you know,
former
from there. Do you have a personal favorite, like opening for the Stones? I mean, come on. Like, which one stands out to you the most?
I mean, that's certainly a standout. That was an extremely special day, the summer opening for them in Jacksonville. That was definitely a highlight. Every year we play Jazz Fest has been amazing. We're lucky to do that again this year. All the hometown festival, Jazz Fest, Voodoo Fest, are amazing. Lollapalooza this past summer was a highlight. We've done Bonnaroo twice. The first time was in 2013 when we were just, nobody really heard of us, and that was super special because when nobody hears of you and you really deliver and rock it, and then they love you, it was meaningful. Like, we did a late night tent set that was super, super special. And then we played it again, you know, on like the main stage, and that was also great. Austin City Limits, also very memorable, and our festival, our set at Hangout Fest regionally in Gulf Shores, Alabama, were also special, right on the beach. All of our shows, like, in this, like, Gulf region have been really good. We've spent a lot of time, like, in the years when we were coming up, we would do residencies in a little beach bar in Pensacola, Florida, called Bamboo Willie's, and we've, like, over those years, really developed a grassroots kind of fan base. So whenever we go back, like, we played Mobile, Alabama last weekend, and it was just amazing. Something about, like, the mix of, like, whatever, it's not a huge city, there's low expectations, met, like, combined with these people that we've known for so long, and that just really makes it for a really fun, loose show in those areas. That said, we've had amazing shows in D.C. over the years, too, especially last year at the Anthem. It was my first time playing there, and it was an amazing venue, one of my favorite venues in the country or the world. We're definitely excited to come back there and rock that again.
Awesome. Before I move on to the Anthem real quick, I just want to double back on your whole opening for the Stones. Any cool insights on, you know, what, you know, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, you know, behind the scenes, you know, backstage, or, you know, any cool tidbits?
So
what,
we weren't sure that
we'd
like get to meet them or anything. It's like, it's pretty much locked down, like, back there, like, really high security. But they do a thing where they'll take a picture right before they go on stage. They'll take a picture with the opening band, and our friend, we're good friends with some of the guys in Tremont Shorty's band, and they had opened for them in Poland, and then they kind of let us know there's the initials of like Mick Jagger, MJ, and like Keith Richards, KR, like on the floor, like on like a piece of paper, and that's like where they're gonna stand. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna stand next to Keith Richards and Ron Wood, you know, I'm the guitar player, and it was just like really cool. Like they walk in, and first Charlie Watts walked in, and he was just super down to earth, like talking about how we're from New Orleans and they just played in New Orleans, and you know that what amazing local drummers he saw in New Orleans, and then like you know Keith and Ron come in, and we just joke around real quick about normal things like how fast the camera was taking pictures, and Mick came in like a bundle of energy, like he's about to get on stage in front of 80,000 people, and he's like giving everybody pounds. And he's like, was it good? Did you have fun? And he was like, yeah, of course, thank you. Thanks for having us, Sir Mick, whatever. You know, it was amazing. It was just surreal, and yeah, I mean, it was like meeting royalty, really. Like, it was incredible. Just to get that little, like, to get that nod, to get that open for them, and hear our band's name come out of his mouth while he's on stage, you know, thanking us to play. It's just insane.
Yeah, that's about as big, man. Awesome. Well, you mentioned that, you know, your drummer, Andrew Campanelli, has some, you know, D.C. area roots. Do you remember, where is he actually from?
He's from Falls Church. He grew up in Falls Church, Virginia.
Oh, that's awesome. How did he make his way down to meet you guys in New Orleans?
He went to Loyola University, and I went to Tulane, and we actually met at Tipitina's, the club Tipitina's Sunday morning workshops. They have, when we were students, they had free workshops for students to play with and learn from local musicians. So we met over there in college.
Okay, so it's down through a college connection. I got you. All right, cool. All right, well, you've been more than generous with your time. Just sort of in closing here, you know, even that you guys, you know, played the anthem and loved it, you know, what was it, last year? Or was it 2 years ago? Yep. Something like that. If our listeners came out to that show, you know, why should they come check you out this time? What makes it a little bit different? Or, heck, maybe some people haven't ever seen you. Why should they come out?
Well, we have some amazing support acts, of course, taking the Bangas. We might want to fact check that, actually, but I'm pretty sure it's them who are opening. They're an incredible group. They were just nominated for Best New Artist at the Grammys. They're from New Orleans. They're outstanding. Also, this is the point where I try to sell it, but you know, we put on a good show. Just like, honestly, we have a lot of fun up there. We make sure that we change up the set list each time we come into a city. So if you did come last time, had a great time, you know, you'll come again. You'll hear some different songs. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Why do you like Anthem specifically? It's a cool spot, man.
It sounds great in there. It's just this big, cool room, and they treat you really nice backstage, and that whole new area is it's fun to stay in for a night or two. They treat you really well, and it sounds amazing in there, and it looks cool, and it feels cool on stage, and I hope so in the crowd too. Really special place. Multiple people after playing that place have remarked that they're like, wow, it's such a really cool venue.
So, well, thanks for your time, Zach. Again, everyone, the Revivalists are coming to the Anthem on February 29th, so get your tickets now. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot.